Well, I begin with an apology. I'm going to be running out of here at 10:02, so Robert's going to love me not going overtime because I've got to catch a shuttle to get back to the Great White North. And the only thing I'll ask you is remind me that I don't take off with all this gear, okay? Because I could see myself doing it. If I have an opportunity to go to either a scientific conference or a theological conference, and I enjoy that, but if I've got a choice, the conferences I like going to where I learn the most are the educational conferences because of the things these educators are absolutely brilliant in coaching me. They introduced me to constructivist learning, which has completely tipped my pedagogy upside down. And in the past year, the flipped class of the blended class, which is simply this. Students do the lectures online, come to class for class discussions and interactions, and it makes for a very wonderful learning experience. So what I'm going to offer is a couple preliminary observations on two flipped classes that I've done this past year. And I know it's only a data set of two, but if you go to the literature online, I mean, there's this explosion of positive comments on how wonderful this is. It doesn't work for every discipline, but in the world of science and religion, I have found this wonderful. A little bit of the history. In Canada, we do not have this church-state document that you guys have down here, despite the fact most Canadians think we do because we watch too much American TV. I teach, our public universities are our best universities, University of Alberta, about 35,000 students, and my college is literally in the center of the University of Alberta. All my students are University of Alberta students. We act like a faculty of theology to a public university. And I might make the qualification. They're public universities. They're not secular universities, despite the fact a lot of these people operate as though they are secular. And so what I have is students from every discipline, engineers, business, science, arts, law students, you name it. I have them in that class. Now, still a little bit on the history. And again, here's an example of those educators educating Denny. This young man here, John Thomas, he teaches at one of the best evangelical schools in the city, and in the last month of their high school experience, John brings his students to the University of Alberta, so I give him a lecture on what I wish I'd have known coming to university. I lost my faith in the first term of biology in 1972, And it was John who said to me, do you ever consider flipped classes? What's a flipped class? And of course, my head exploded when I thought I could see the possibilities on this. But there's something pretty important about this slide as well. 12 years in one of the best evangelical schools, and then they still have to come to the university to get the blanks filled in. The presentation is only 30 minutes long, and it starts at 6. We usually are asked to leave the building by 11 o'clock. And so what we're finding with, you know, there's information these kids are simply not equipped to, and John sees the importance of equipping them, and in particular, you know, giving them an opportunity that there's a professor on campus who is an evangelical, that if they're wrestling with their issues. Anyway, John told me about the flip. I just sort of went intuitively, this will work well. So here are the principles. Principle number one, I'm an old guy, I'm almost 60. It's a computer generation. These undergraduates love learning. They love their computers, too. There are different learning styles. I'm not sure if I'd like doing the course this way, because I like that live lecture. And I think that's just a function of my own enculturation as a student. Now, here's the real key to all this, is different learning speeds. You know this, for you guys who teach. The beauty of the flipped class is, if you're in a regular class, and you know how quick I speak, you miss something, you've lost the class. The beauty of the flipped class is I've carved all the lectures into little 30-second PowerPoint slides. If they don't understand it, they get to play it over and over until they get it. That's the greatest part of the flipped class. And I might add, improve lecture quality. We all know we make mistakes, and if you make a mistake at the beginning of the lecture, you've got the students all confused, and then they lose that time. For every slide, I probably do it half a dozen times to get the articulation correct and get exactly what I want on the slide. So the quality is much better than the live lecture. Okay, the materials, what do I use? Now, if you go online, this is the class homepage. I have a set of audio slides, PowerPoint slides, in which the audio's there. Now, the advantage that I have been teaching this course. I'm in a research university. We basically teach just one course. So I've done it 61 times. It's extremely polished. And again, I listen to what the students want. I mean, this course has really been shaped by the needs of the students. So I have a set of class notes, and these are all online. It's all free. It's all public. That are 200 pages. I have a set of class handouts, which are 100 pages. I've redone all the diagrams. I've hired artists, so we don't have any conflicts of interest. So you can download them all you want and use them. And the other thing, I have all the quizzes and exams. And one of the nice things, I have the syllabus there in audio slides. So if a student comes in late, I don't have to try to put the syllabus all in 5 minutes. They can actually go and find out what's in the syllabus. But more importantly, with all my exams, I give explanations. So what's on the exam, we'll go to get the full explanation. This is beautiful. I mean, you know this about the internet. Okay, I use the iSpring program. And if I can do this as a complete computer illiterate, you guys can do it as well. So all you do is you do PowerPoint, you put your voiceover on it, and the way I've set it up, and by the way, this is my second generation of slides. The first generation, I was carving up the slides per topic. Now what I do is for every episode, it's one page of the notes. So what you'll see here is audio slide 141, which aligns to class notes page 141. And you'll notice that all the episodes are fairly short, around 30 seconds. In a second, I'll show you the notes where there's the slide number on the side. And, of course, there is the time. And if you don't understand something, you stop it and you just bring it back till you find it. I think that's the best part of this flipped class format. Okay, so how do the notes and slides, as I mentioned, when it comes to every episode, amounts to equal one page of the notes. So if you're on page 10 of the notes and you want to hear what I had to say about stuff, then you go to episode 10. On the right margin, you have the slide number and you also have the handout number. So if you want to see the science-religion dichotomy diagram, it's there on page 1 of the handouts. Time management. 23 hours, 40 hours is our regular three-unit class. So 23 hours of lectures online, then another 16 hours in the classroom with FaceTime. Now, le problème, the potential problem of this, and I think you probably know what it is intuitively. Kids have everything online. They're going to wait to the final exam or the midterm to try to jam it all in, and it's not going to work for them. So the solution was to put in little quizettes at the beginning of that one time, and we meet only once a week, a little three-minute quizette, which is really simple just to make sure they've read or listened to the material. And they're pretty simple little questions. And I give 15% of the grade, which amounts to three letter grades. And it's at the beginning of the class, and you get the students in class on time all the time. So that's how I solve the potential problem of them not keeping up. Class structure, number one, the three-minute three-question quizette, then 25-minute lecture summary where I hit the tops of the waves. Then we follow that with the 20-minute class discussion, 10 minutes in little groups of two or three, then together as a group. And then we have what I call whatever time. In respecting the time of the students, it amounts to 50-minute lectures, basically. And I usually teach Tuesday, Thursdays, which are 80-minute blocks, which allows a large open period that we can just sort of talk about things. For example, the first discussion will be on divine action, and I talk about my own personal experience. And think about it. You got a professor saying, I believe in divine action. Here's my most dramatic divine action. Just about all of them stay in the whatever time to talk about this. It's a great opportunity to share. And when it comes to supplemental lectures, because I'm only there once a week, I can also have extra lectures, like for some people who want a lecture on age of the earth or an evolution. I can do things like that with that supplemental time. All right, there's an example. I give them little scorecards, divine action. They click things off amongst themselves, and the lateral learning. I mean, this is what I learned from the Ed guys again. The professor to student, that's okay. But on something as personal as people's faith and the bonding and the friendships that develop in the class discussions are absolutely important. As I tell them, I'm your dad, I'm your granddad. So learn laterally. All right, here comes the experiment. So if there was going to be an opportunity to see if this was going to work, we decided to do this on my evening class on Wednesday, and I teach a 5 to 8 for years now, simply to accommodate the engineers, because I have mostly engineers in that class, because they got that 40-hour week, and they have to somehow stuff an art selective in there. So that was the experiment in the fall. This is the first thing that knocked me on my seat. GPA of 0.3 higher than the lecture class that I gave at the same time. I came into the class and I said, I know you guys are all engineers, you're really bright, but I've never seen something like this. And they looked at me as if to say, don't you understand what you've been doing to us? You've been putting the heat on us every day with those little quizette. So we're prepped for class, we've got it in our heads, then you consolidate it by putting a summary lecture on it, and then we do the class discussion. And by the way, all the class discussions are part of the final exam questions. I give them their exam questions ahead of time. So divine action, what is your view of divine action? How do we do this within a public university? It's simply this. I don't care what you believe. Now, as a Christian, I do, but as a university professor, I do not legislate belief. So describe your position, then argue it. And I also tell them, and it's true, I've given as many A pluses to atheists as I have to evangelicals, as I have to Muslims, you name it. For guys who teach, an A plus is an A plus, right? So that was the first shock on how much higher they were. The level of discourse in the class discussions was remarkable. I mean, I take notes off some of these students sometime, but I was taking notes on just about all of them, and why? Is because they're prepared. Instead of me saying, here's the position on divine action, let's discuss it in 20 minutes, they have to do it ahead of time. They got to prep it for their little quizette, and the quality really jumps up. Highest instructor evaluations ever? Well, I'll tell you this, not by way of pride. We're on 5.0. My averages have been 4.7 to 4.8 over the 16 years I've taught. They jumped up to 4.9s across the board. I mean, my dean just was shocked. And the other qualification is a quarter of my students are not Christians, so it's not like I'm pandering to the Christians. So it's an improved student satisfaction experience. And for me, it's the best teaching experience I've ever had as an instructor. I love it. Little qualification, for example, this is a course where I start from the bottom up. This is an atheist, this is a theist, this is a deist, this is an agnostic. I mean, I don't really get blessed by doing that every year, but if it's online, then I don't have to ever repeat it again. And for the ones, the students who are in philosophy or something like that, then when they see this in the notes, they don't have to listen and they can jump on to the next section. In other words, being stuck in class, having to listen to something they already know. So you're fine-tuning and you're customizing your experience. The future. I'm just starting to think about how this is going to work out. Improve parents and pastor night. And you might wonder what that's all about. Well, I had one student once say, can we have a class after the course and all the exams? And I said, sure. And ever since that time, I get about a third of my students with the parents and some of their pastors. And of course, they come home, those who are living home, apparently at the kitchen table, there's a lot of talk about Lamoureux's heretical views. Now the parents can go online and learn this, and they can now become part of the discussion when we do that evening. Oh, sorry, let's go back. An improved online course experience. Now, I do have a pure online course, but most online courses, usually you're doing a bunch of readings, at least at our school. Now they've got some audio slides, but it's not as good as having also the component where there's FaceTime. Now, here's a possibility of the weekend flip classes in that students could do all the lectures in another city and invite me in to do the 16 hours of FaceTime all in a weekend. That's a possibility. In fact, we've been talking to Randy and the Canadian guys next year. What we might be doing, it's only in a, sort of a thought, is 2 days before the ASA meeting, I could be giving this course, and we could be attracting a lot more young people to ASA, and at the same time, give them credit, University of Alberta credit. And Flipcast is for evangelicals at other universities and colleges. One of the thoughts is we will hire people who have academic credentials, basically minimum of a master's, and they could do the flip experience wherever they happen to be in any public university they want, but they could get University of Alberta credit for it. And by the way, the University of Alberta, listed between number 50 and 75 in the world. So it's a very good university. It's a respected university. And in this way, and I mean, I know this about you Americans, that you allow your students to take a semester somewhere in another country. Well, here's my argument. Come and take a cross-cultural experience from a Canadian professor. I mean, you know what I'm doing here, don't you? I mean, I can play the game as well. And I'm going to show you American folks that we can talk about Jesus Christ within a public university without anyone growing horns in the center of their forehead. And if there's, you know, individuals who say they can't do this because of ideological connections, well, I would love to have that discussion on CNN with whatever public university professor who wants to go at it. And that's all I have to say, and I have 2 minutes for any quick question. Yes?
Do you plan to redo your lectures each time, or are you going to just use them from year to year periodically?
Great question. You can fine-tune them all the time. But now that I've done this over 16 years, and I've done the course 61 times, the set of lectures are pretty good. They're stable. But the beauty is I can go ahead and eliminate a slide, put in some new slides, some new information. So this can change all the time.